us. Hey, look at us.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
This is the fun. This really is.
This is like giving you a bowl of doggy do, put a cherry on top, and call it a chocolate sundae.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Hey, Sunday KTTH Brian Suits here, and it is your Late Start Wednesday, Super Late Start Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And corrections and retractions, yes, I do know that prosciutto is ham. But I did say, I would check in the texting. We did have an ombudsman point out that it's ham, not beef.
You and your fancy words. That's what you put on a charcuterie board, right?
Yeah. And if and also,
most people say prosciutto, though.
And yeah, prosciutto. And the toasted...
The,
toasted...
mozzarella.
Toasted bread with pesto or tomato on it is bruschetta, not bruschetta. Okay.
Making my mouth water.
And you know what? You know what sucks? Because not that I want to do this to people right now, but the 10th break from last night is how to win your nap. And I mean, I got to say, there's a couple ways you can nail it, but listen to the 10th break because hey there, MC, 10th break, yay me. And then I even do some ASMR.
I made a
origami crane or is it a duck? I don't know. But anyway, my 6.5 minute guide of how to win your nap so that you can be refreshed all day long. And set an alarm to make sure, like, for half an hour. Don't make your body lesson number one, don't make your body believe it's real sleepy poo-poo time. So that's why you just take your shoes off and loosen your belt.
Is this a Brian Suits Show meta moment?
Kind of, sort of. Except here is the 2019 Iberico Ham Carving Awards, everyone. If you want to do some video ASMR.
Iberico Ham Carving Competition. This evening, we have our 5 finalists here.
And they're behind their hams. And so the deal is, I'm tying off a lot of knots. So we're going to close out whether or not there's a super secret Navy SEAL sleeping method with a super secret Navy SEAL who's retired on Orcas Island. When we're talking live, you may on the phone. I'd rather not say anything on the airwaves about how a lot. Okay. So anyway, but he assured me that there's not. And one of the things that I want to get him on is because there was that movie about, remember that movie like 8 years ago with actual serving Navy SEALs in the movie?
It was I saw that in the theater.
Call of Duty or Call of Honor or something like that.
It was filmed like a Call of Duty video game where like first person shooter perspective.
Well, Duncan was in it. It's so fun. It's so
no
funny.
Kidding.
Yes, Duncan Smith, because he's a face man. He's a good looking guy.
Was it Act of Valor?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And he's like 98 and he's just an impossibly fit. And I want to just punch him in the face because he's too good looking. And yeah, so he's in that movie. And he also was the technical advisor on it and the whole thing. And he can't slice a prosciutto.
Who will be endeavoring to cut a whole ham in a period of under 2.5 hours? It's not an easy feat, but these are skilled carvers.
I want to be in. And by the way, these are, if you've ever been to Spain and you're passing by the gift shop, you'll notice there are legs of pig hanging all through the gift shop. And those are Iberico prosciutto hams. And there's actually a cloven hoof pointed up, and they're hanging there. And when we went to Spain, my dad was so fascinated by this because it was a warm day, and they're covered. Some are covered like in wax, and some are not covered. And the ones that are not covered, I'm not kidding, they have like an upside-down plastic umbrella stuck at the very bottom part so that if they do ooze pig oil, because it's a severed pig's leg, it's a ham now, it will get collected in this little cup. And then people were taking them on the plane. And this is like an internal flight. It was like Malaga to Madrid to get our main Malaga back to Hawaii flight. And there were people with pig legs in their lap on the plane. It was, and this is like, I swear it was the last day you could smoke on an airplane. And Spaniards will smoke like a forest fire. And we were back in the kiddie section because me and my brother were kiddies. And so no ham or cigarettes for us, but it was Definitely not an American airline.
What listeners just heard there was an exposition on carving meat that could only come from a person whose personal mantra is,
I have friends. I definitely have friends. No one can say that I do not have friends.
Psychologists.
Don't even challenge me on dropping names, because I will drop a name. And so, yes, he was in a Hollywood movie, and yes, he's a retired SEAL. But now he has a great foundation where they do kayak expeditions like around Orcas Island or not Vashon. I was so wrong about that. He's the opposite of Vashon Island. And so he does these expeditions, and it's really cool. And, you know, you paddle 10 miles and then beach him and, you know, put up a hammock or whatever. And then day two, you finish the thing. A lot of fun. Way more fun than being robbed by teenagers in Kent, I can tell you that. Or who out there is saying, I really could use a tax break on my EV because they're so hard to buy right now? Okay, well, the answer, nobody. No one's saying that. Because if you haven't been on Craigslist for a while looking at cars, go on Craigslist and just look up lease Tesla. Takeover lease Tesla. People who get them, people who adopt them, are finding out the hard way that they are pretty impractical. It's like buying a gasoline-powered car in 1871. It's a great idea. Internal combustion, I bet it won't work, but if you believe it really works, what do you need in there? I'll go refine some.
Elon.
That's what it's like. And so, by the way, because of things like what Washington did yesterday, putting its thumb on the scale of the market, Tesla's stock, which they were supposed to have a quarter one earnings, and they did not have a good quarter one, folks, but not as bad as it should have been. And many say that it's hit bottom because now that the federal government with inflation reduction and the state government with Jay Inslee, they want you to know about EVs for lease under, what's their number, $150 a month? And you don't want any of these EVs. But anyway, and just go on Craigslist and see if that works. But Washington State will launch an electric vehicle rebate program this summer in an effort to make EVs affordable for between 6,500 and 8,000 low-income residents. And by the way, this is a solution in search of a problem. This is not a problem. They are affordable, because believe me, there's no car dealer that will not extend credit to someone they should not. And so if that's a problem, you can find it, and you just put the bait out there. The program will launch in August and will offer to eligible residents $5,000 off a new EV or $2,500 off a used EV at the time of purchase from the dealer. The program also includes an incentive of up to $9,000 for a new EV lease or up to $2,500 off a used EV lease. And by the way, go on Craigslist. Someone who wants to hand over their lease to you, they'll pay you the $2,500 to please come take my car. I can't drive it to Federal Way. I'm in Lake Forest Park. So the maximum incentive is available for leases on a three-year term or longer. People earning 300% or below of the federal poverty level are eligible for the program's incentives. So you can be 300% or below. So in other words, you can be at 300% over poverty level or 299 or 298. But you're triple the poverty level, and the state of Washington will float you the money. We'll give you a spiffer to get into one of these cars if you find a dealer dumb enough to have a lot full of them. Read the room or read the headlines or listen to the Brian Suit Show. I've been tracking this because it's happening in the put panels on your roof industry and the put EVs in your garage industry. The word is out because there's nothing more powerful than word of mouth about where you get the great prosciutto or who knows the most people that they can drop names on or where do I get a deal on an EV. And so my friend picked up the model. Is it Model C or Model 3? What's the one? It looks like Volkswagen could have made it.
I don't know anything about that sector, really.
And she picked it up used. They way overvalued her trade-in. It was a Jeep, and those are hot right now with their internal combustion and use of gas. and wish I'd bought it from her. And so they practically paid her to take it off the lot because it's just taking up space. And you've heard these stories about the dealers as you round the Fife curve between there and the Tacoma Dome. All those guys on your left and right, they don't want them. BMW doesn't want them. Jaguar's EV, that was laughable. You don't go buy a Jaguar because you want to save the grizzly bears, the polar bears, or anything. It if anything, it drives people off the lot. And so anyway, so it's a solution written by people that don't know business is what it is, and that's what you get on there. Somebody's shooting into apartments in Linwood, and they may not even know the people. So let's just make that thing one on a nodal.
First thing,
you will have a company tomorrow.
Boeing was out with first quarter results. Plane maker reporting a smaller than expected loss, but commercial airplane revenue dropped by almost a third versus last year. Join us now with his reaction is Ron.
And that revenue, by the way, is what Boeing may, after expenses are factored out, what's left over is profit or revenue for selling commercial airplanes. And it's up over last year, but first quarter earnings were all in before door plugs were popping off and all that. The real effects are going to be later on this year. That's your thing one. Boeing is still open today. The doors are open. Tesla not having a great day, but there's hours left to go on trading on that one. thing two.
You know those bolts that, like, hold the plane together? We're going to go ahead and tighten some of those.
Second thing,
this just in from the Republican National Committee research. Turns out Joe Biden can stretch the truth. In these days, when he's in front of the right people, when he's in front of the right shade of people, he got into politics because of civil rights. And really, say the words, Joe.
During the 60s, I was, in fact.
But you go back to 19. It turns out they had video back in 1968. So what he said that he got inspired by the civil rights.
During the 60s, I was, in fact.
I got involved.
You can tell old Joe from New Joe right there. Well, anyway, he said he got involved because of civil rights. And then you go back to the actual time he says he got involved, which is 1968. And he says, no, I wasn't there. I wasn't in Selma.
I was, in fact, very concerned about the civil rights movement.
But?
I was not an activist. I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington, Delaware.
We already know that story. And by the way, I wanted him in 1968 to break into that story when it was still fresh, and he did not. He decided I worked at an all-black swimming pool. And we know what happened there. Anyway. That is thing two. Thing three.
Third thing,
much of the media is expressing this sentiment.
And if I heard the word pecker one more time, I thought I was going to lose my mind, but he was the lead story.
So Trump may get a sanction from the judge about violating the gag rule today. The options are $1,000 a day, and he would have to pay $10,000 up front, or, and I gotta say, the jail time option, because the entire primary season was him saying fake prosecutions, the whole thing, and the money was flowing in. That it's trailed off now, and a Trump booking photo, an intake photo, would do wonders for him right now.
I'll keep you in suspense.
I would, in my campaign meeting, I would say, you know, don't shout me down. Let me complete this sentence. We'll know within a few hours whether this works, and I sense it would, and that would get the candidate to say donations. But one of the things you're seeing is that people don't want to pay legal fees, and so you would have to say this is to fight against Trump's persecution, not his legal fees. So there's a way to split the baby on that one. Just don't split any babies. And then Joe Biden went to Florida to split babies. And this is his new, they're testing this out. When he delivers it like this, this is thing three, by the way.
Let's call it fourth thing.
Fourth thing.
Since I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
I, I read that, and then I listened over and over, and he goes, how many times? Well,
how many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
How many times he have to prove we can't be trusted? Right? I mean, transcribe that. That is what he says. How many times we have to prove he can't be trusted? What was the point? Was that somehow Trump has shown all the cackling Democrats he can't be trusted? Or anyway, it helps to deliver the joke correctly.
How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
And once again, Greg, ask me, what's the secret to comedy?
Brian, what is the secret
timing
to comedy? What?
And so that lesson learned. So there we go. Well, here we go. Up in Woodinville, in Linwood, which is part of Snohomish County, someone is shooting at a apartment building.
And fifth thing.
The same one. And this is kind of the thing.
A number of Linwood residents are on edge after they say they experienced two drive-by shootings in several days. Residents say yesterday's shooting happened in broad daylight with children at home.
Oh, Cairo 7's Louis Tran joins us live in Linwood right now.
So what we learned is that the same people got bullet holes through the window, and then the bullet apparently embedding themselves in the drywall across the room. Now, they don't like it, as no one should.
Don't feel safe anymore here.
Residents tell me there were two separate drive-by shootings in a span of 4 days.
Immediately felt violated.
Alex and his husband did not want to show their faces.
Okay, and then the bullet came and landed right in here.
But they showed us the damage from Friday's shooting. A bullet pierced their living room window and left...
And the window looks like it's Lexan. It's not glass, so it left a little spider hole, a visible hole, but no residual sympathetic cracking. And then the bullet embedded in the drywall, but they didn't pull the bullet out. And then here's Channel 7 throwing Snohomish County Sheriff's Department under the bus.
Feel that way?
We are more concerned about these shootings. Like, it's not one time. It's the second time happened, and we are concerned it might happen again.
Well, anyway, they pointed out that Woodinville is, or pardon me, Linwood wants to be part of your Snohomish County Sheriff's Department policing them. And it, just me eyeballing it, I didn't see it. They did say one of the bullets was a rifle bullet, but I didn't see any evidence of over-penetration because a rifle hitting drywall would go to four apartments over. But anyway... Teenagers robbing people in Kent with guns, robbing a 7-Eleven. Not nice. Very bad kids on a school day.
Now at 6, they're not old enough to even drive legally, but a pair of 14-year-olds are now in custody after an armed robbery and pursuit in Kent. Tonight we're seeing video of the masked robbers running away from the 7-Eleven at 64th Avenue.
So they brought guns to a 7-Eleven robbery, and they're still called juveniles, and they will be in front of the man today.
See if these teens are linked to other robberies.
This is something you're seeing a lot more of lately than you did before.
Except Washington state law says that without a lawyer present, they can't be interrogated or questioned. So listen to this one. Here you have a immigrant from Nigeria who witnessed all the mayhem. And I love this guy. This guy nails what the problem is in America.
Now, the big problem is, how do they get guns? The only thing that I really like this place is that the police are swift. These guys, they are well trained. May God bless them.
Well experienced. Good for him. Anyway, his last name is Kauma, K-A-U-M-A, and his takeaway is, he doesn't like the crime, but he appreciates that the police are so well drilled that they can respond to teenagers in a stolen Kia so well. And then he puts the Lord's blessing on all law enforcement.
What I really like this place is that the police are swift. These guys, they are well trained. May God bless them.
So there you go. So that's a bit refreshing, isn't it?
If only city officials would talk that way about law enforcement.
I know, and so I forget. I don't know if it still says like Kent, City of Destiny, but it should say Kent, Swift. May God bless us, Swift and well trained. But they got the miscreants, and you can slap on a truancy charge on that one. I would imagine. But anyway, they're going to be in front of a juvenile judge today, and no matter what they said, it can't be It cannot be entered into evidence because there wasn't a lawyer present and all that. So just continue being a juvenile all your life. All right, when we come back, more into the enabling. It's one thing to badmouth the rude, ignorant chants and the hiding behind the First Amendment to take other people's rights away. It's another thing to be a congressperson. We'll talk to a Fox News guy about what's going to happen. What do we do with a problem like Columbia University right after the same 770 KTTH? AM 770 KTTH, Brian Seuss here. Well, let's give you some backstory on this. This was Congressperson Ilhan Omar, who, are we settling on daughter? We're saying daughter for sure. Whose own child was suspended. Suspended or kicked out? Because they're two separate things. Anyway, kicked out of Columbia University. And she went and addressed the crowds of Jew-hating protesters, apparently, and even saddled Israel with a new mass grave accusation, as heard here. And feel free to bring this down, because there's something in her tone that just...
I am incredibly moved by your courage and bravery as a student body in putting your bodies on the line to stand in solidarity to end the genocide that is taking place in Gaza.
And that's become sort of a shorthand. And where are people getting a lot of this stuff? Well, for my money, if you're going to Columbia University and you're in Manhattan, you're probably getting it from government radio, as I always call it. From a national public radio or from public broadcasting, public TV. Coming on board from Hofstra University, Dr. Mina Bose, political analyst and executive dean for public policy at the Hofstra University. And there's no doubt in my mind that when you find a path of least resistance like that, it's reflected because you want in radio and TV, you want audience, except the difference is that they don't earn their operating revenue, what I would say, honestly, because they're funded in very large part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Dr. Mina Bose joins us from the Hofstra University. And I know, knowing nothing about Hofstra University, except that you're in Hempstead, New York, what is the temperature at Hofstra these days?
Well, the temperature has been very calm and civil. I've got to say that was an interesting connection that you made, given that I think the target demographic for national public radio is the median age is almost 50 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that I'm happy to talk about national public radio, but I'm not sure that that connection is so direct, frankly.
But here's the deal. Here on the West Coast, in the major cities on the West Coast, Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco, publicly funded KQED, KOPB in Portland, KUOW here in Seattle, consistently in news talk in mornings and afternoons, because this is a completely overeducated audience. They're consistently in the top three, and in my money, because I'm in commercial radio where we put a good product on the air and then we charge people to run their commercials. You know, in other words, we earn it. We don't wake up in the morning with a free 6% profit margin. I'd be driving a fourth Mercedes if I had that. But they do, and I know a lot of people at NPR. I know a lot of good folks that mean well and the whole thing. But they deny that is somehow an advantage. I mean, in other words, they're being propped up by people's taxpayer dollars. And in many cases, like in my case, they do not reflect a bit of my politics. But anyway, you're Dr. Mina Bose, and I'm not.
Well, we can agree on that. I guess the question I would say here that when you look at national public radio and public funding, I mean, I think there's kind of it may be time for revisiting what the original mandate of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting was. It was created in 1967. And it's interesting to talk with you about kind of local radio, because one of the reasons NPR was created in 1970, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the bulk of its budget, I think 75%, goes to public television. Only a quarter of it goes to radio. And that's largely to local affiliates who are required to use some portion of their funding for national news. In the 1970s, there weren't many national news sources. So now, of course, there are so many sources, and you can just get it anytime you want, right? You're not dependent on a certain show or listening at a certain time. And so I think a real question, because the concern has been that if you cut the public, the limited public funding that's available for public TV and radio, that limited government sponsorship, right? It's not government control, but you're right, there is a budget line. Would that hurt local news stations? Do you need to keep the money but say that it should focus more on local news, that the national is not required? I think those are really important questions to discuss. But I don't think we want to go to – it's very risky to go down a road of saying just cut it off without seeing what the broader ramifications are, particularly for local stations.
And then
how you monitor it.
This is not some weird left turn, right turn, non sequitur. It's because yesterday House Freedom Caucus Chair Bob Good from Virginia is calling for an end to taxpayer-funded media, and his Defund NPR Act, it was introduced last week on Friday, would block federal funding. And I'll tell you what, this comes on the heels of a NPR editor who wrote a scathing self-examination about how they are holding a huge part of their potential audience with a stiff arm because they don't have anybody there in the newsroom, on the newsroom floor, that can reflect even, you know, authentically, even what their crazy uncle says. And I know this for a fact from friends in that newsroom and friends at MSNBC and others who are saying there's people there that are lurching and faking disgust at even using a term like writing MAGA into a story, unless it's a deeply, you know, a insulting quote or something. And I mean, just the fact that there's no one that can even articulate the language of Wyoming, you know, or Utah or something is what should concern people. Even people in Seattle and Portland.
You summarized well, right? This is kind of what we're talking about today. I would say just defunding, a proposal to defund, and there have actually been articles saying that those kind of miss the larger picture. And should Congress kind of reassess its funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? I think want to be careful about not kind of, again, I think there's a danger in moving just swiftly without thinking what the repercussions are. But I would also say I think the mission of the corporation that was created more than, you know, at this point, almost 60 years ago, 57 years ago, maybe there is a need to reconsider how the funding is used. And I think without a doubt, NPR is responding to, right? I mean, these kind of the critiques from the editor who's now left the organization, you know, they depend, the large bulk of their budget is corporate sponsorship. So the public funding is a relatively small component. So I think that they're aware of the issue. They're facing they'll have to address the funding challenges when they do their campaigns. And I think from the public perspective, we have to really consider, what are the priorities of, what is the mission of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and how are those funds allocated? And again, I mean, I come back to local radio. I don't know a lot about that specifically, but I'm hesitant to say just cut off all this funding because there's very little of that funding that goes directly to NPR. It's to local stations that need to purchase to have a certain amount of guaranteed national news coverage. So it's not really – defunding NPR doesn't really get to the heart of the issue.
Yeah. And it's funny because internally the stations on the West Coast are so cash rich. And the vibe is, well, I'm sacrificing because of integrity, man. And so I happen to know there was an internal insurrection locally at this one station a couple of years ago because at the beginning of the year, all these producers and assistant producers who've been asking for raises for years were told that the state of the station is terrific. Here's our operating revenue surplus. And it was jaw-dropping. And they had people get up and take the resumes out of the copier and leave. And then you go, you drop that top 25 market tier. You go down to Lawton, Oklahoma, or Oklahoma City, and it's a different vibe on your local public radio station. They're talking about the Second Amendment. They're having open discussions about arming teachers and things like that. They see none of that money, and they get really PO'd because there are two NPRs, and inside the tent, there's two of them. There's Small Town, there's Boise, and there's, you know, Billings, Montana, and then there's Seattle, you know, or San Francisco. Yeah. And so it's funny that market forces are affecting them whether they like it or not. And that's the employment market.
Right, right. Well, and ultimately, right, I mean, that is kind of how the market is supposed to work, right? And that has, I think that is probably ultimately going to be more influential, right, directly than efforts to kind of introduce legislation that don't address the issue. And again, that's not to say that Congress shouldn't pay attention. Congress should obviously pay attention to anything that is funded. But it's not as simple as just saying the money isn't going directly to this one organization and just take it away, right? And so that's why I think, you know, we really have to consider I think a lot of us grew up hearing PBS, hearing public TV. My students today talk about remembering hearing certain public shows. Do we want to remove any public support from public broadcasting at all?
If it serves the public good, thoughtful. like we're mandated by the FCC to do so. Well, of course, appearing on the Brian Stewart Show, you won yourself a tote bag. So, not really. You're also the author of Signaling Presidential Policy, The National Security Decision-Making of Eisenhower and Kennedy. And I'm going to read that because
I appreciate it.
I'm deep into the Suez Crisis right now. And I can't wait to read that. Because I've always wondered why Ike would throw Britain under the bus on that one. But I'm going to read your book and find out, right?
Well, the book was based on grand strategies in 1953 and 1961, so it doesn't actually get to 56. But maybe some of the national security doctrine material will inform that. So,
absolutely. Well, you're after this show's heart. Dr. Meenabo is at Hofstra University, which looks perfectly lovely and peaceful. Have a good day. Thanks for joining us today.
You too. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. There she goes. We'll be back in just a second with how do you get your Inslee spiff to bamboozle you into an EV. I'll tell you right after this, Washington will launch an EV rebate program, believe it or not, at a time when no one's buying the things. So he is salesman of the year for Tesla, AM770 KTTH. AM770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and thanks to Dr. Mina Bose at Hofstra University, which I can't find their nickname, their mascot. I don't know if they even do participate in the athletics, but it looks perfectly lovely there in
the Hofstra hexagons.
Are they? No, you're just...
They're very academic.
The squared circles, the octagons, so that'd be cool. They should have
hexagons.
NCAA MMA. Did you see that Iranian MMA fighter in Moscow?
Sounds scary.
Who was barred from MMA?
Is he juicing?
He was Musliming. Okay, so he's in Moscow, friend of Iran. And MMA, just like boxing, in between the rings, you have a lovely lady, scantily clad, in an exaggerated sex walk, go around the ring holding up a digit. One, two, three, whatever rounding is about is coming up.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, so it's a time-honored tradition in boxing, so MMA grabbed it. So they have a Russian woman in, like, tight red bike shorts and a tight red jog bra, basically.
And she's
sashaying around the ring in counterclockwise fashion. She goes by the Iranian guy, and he kicks her butt. He actually kicks her. And then he apologized because he said, that's against my religion. But, I mean, he was absolutely ogling her. I mean, she looked like a red Dallas Cowboy cheerleader circa 1978. I don't know why that specific year point stands up. But anyway, so he kicks her. Then he loses his bout to a Bulgarian who pounds him. And then when he gets out of the ring, he's chased down by a bunch of Russians, including one guy who's wielding a chair, and they beat his butt.
Are you not entertained?
Because he kicked this Russian woman as she's walking by. Then he blamed his religion, not himself. And so anyway, he's been, I think, barred from MMA. And he said, oh, my religion called for this and that whole thing. Anyway, I was going to look up. Oh, so wait, do we know or are you making that up?
Do I know what now?
The mascot for Hofstra.
The Hofstra mascot is?
Because I looked. Go to hofstra.edu. It looks expensive as hell.
Willie Pride. I can't make that up. It looks like a tiger or a lion?
Just so that everybody knows, the best mascot in America for college sports are the Grays Harbor Community College Chokers. The Chokers.
The Chokers.
The Chokers. Go Chokers.
That doesn't sound like a good name for an athletic team.
Because
Chokers?
That guy is the guy out at the burn at the clear cut who sets the choke line. And the choke line is how you cinch up the log up the skid to the top of the hill and put it on a truck. Somebody has to set the choker line. And it's the most risky, the most physically perilous job on the entire mountainside. You can lose a finger. You can lose a steel rope, and you can lose a head. It's all happened out on the peninsula, baby. But those people are called chokers. And amongst people that know anything about the business, that's a great – that guy is your guy. And it's a great title to be a choker. On sports, not so much. Not so much.
We were known as the Whitworth Wee Blewitts.
Really, that would be – you should have a – that would be a great little nickname. The most prominent choker head coach of all time, Jack Elway.
Any relation to John Elway?
His dad.
Oh, okay.
Do you know why?
You go way back.
Because Jack Elway coached the Port Angeles Rough Riders, and little John was born at Olympic Memorial Hospital. And dad went on to coach the Grays Harbor Chokers. And you can get a hoodie that says, Go Chokers. It says, Go Choke Yourself or whatever. But anyway, it's a great local piece of knowledge that you need to know is a nickname. So, in communication, I get frustrated. I get frustrated with the Biden team. They could do a lot to lower their workload, and that's why I think they're being paid per gaffe. They're getting commission or something. If they pulled them aside and they said a couple things, we fact checked Uncle Bosey. Okay, all right. He was not flying a single-engine reconnaissance plane. Nobody was shot down by the natives of New Guinea because there was no airplane in all of World War II that was vulnerable to a blowgun or a bow and arrow. And then, oh, by the way, they didn't consider a pilot leaving a stricken aircraft in a parachute to be fair game. So when he tells that, and he told it again in Pennsylvania, because it's all the thing about his best buddy, the train conductor, totally debunked. The thing about him driving an 18-wheeler, totally debunked. And there, I mean, literally at this point, you can have I can make you a laminate that says Corn Pop 61 Delaware, most accurate story he tells. Drove an 18-wheeler, zero record of this in any way, shape, or form. Uncle Bosey eaten by cannibals. Terribly, not bloody likely. And just, you would just tell him that. And just say, I'm from your counter malarkey team. I got to jump in here on this one. Because he did the truck thing again yesterday.
I think, you know, whether the press thinks I'm good, bad, or indifferent, I think they acknowledge that there's less than truth comes out of the other guy's mouth. And, you know, you wouldn't know it from what you're reading here, but, you know, we're in pretty good shape in the polls.
He said, I guess what he's saying is he says there's less than truth that comes out of the other guy's mouth.
You know, whether the press thinks I'm good, bad, or indifferent, I think they acknowledge that there's less than truth comes out of the other guy's mouth.
Yeah, okay, I did hear that right. That's always oddly phrased. But, I mean, I'll say this. Say what you will about Trump's personal morals, but if anybody, and I'm talking to men of a certain age, if anybody said to me, you ever seen that Playmate of the Year, Karen McDougal? I'm hitting that. I would say, golf, tango, foxtrot, Oscar. Go home, pack a bag, and then golf, tango, foxtrot, Oscar on that one. No, no, you're not. Bruce Willis is. No, 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 he dumped her. And sorry, but I'm more likely to believe that your uncle parachuted into cannibals because you keep saying it. And he said it in a better mic. And so the counter malarkey person would say, Uncle Bozy was a pilot of a twin-engine Douglas A-20 Havoc. It was not a surveillance aircraft. And the people of Papua New Guinea lack firearms, and they don't shoot down planes, and then they don't eat the parachuting pilot.
My uncle Bozy Ambrose J. Finnegan. He flew those single engine planes.
You did get the name right.
As reconnaissance over war zones. He got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
See, he clearly says they never found the body because there are a lot of cannibals for real, and cannibalism was a ritualistic thing. You were alive when you encountered them. They would not eat the roadkill. So anyway, then in the next breath, he takes a mic and says, I drove a truck. And that has been debunked. On my laminate, there'd be a bunch of permanent check marks. You knew your train conductor. He just died a few years ago. Debunked. You owned and drove a truck. Debunked. Corn Pop was a bad dude, debunked, all of it. And then you wouldn't be chasing this stuff down all the time. But then the other problem is there's video from 1987. And so this is the thing, what he's saying right now, because they're hemorrhaging black voters is, oh, yeah, yeah, I got involved out of the civil rights movement. Now, it was RFK or whoever, at least RFK can point to his dad and say, well, my dad inculcated to the whole family that stuff. There's zero evidence. And in fact, there is evidence that he did not get involved from his own mouth. And so they put this together, and this is from yesterday.
I got involved when I was a kid in electoral politics out of the civil rights movement.
During the and this is from 1987 when he still had some marbles bouncing around in there before he found the partially gnawed corpse of Uncle Bozy. This is Biden in 87 with sentient thought to rub together.
60s. I was, in fact, very concerned about the civil rights movement.
Concerned.
I was not an activist. I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington, Delaware. I was involved. I was involved in what they were thinking, what they were feeling. I was involved, but I was not out marching. I was not down in Selma. I was not anywhere else.
I got him.
Pretty convincing. His job was to keep them in the all-black swimming pool, apparently. He sounds proud of it in this one. But anyway, this is himself countering himself. So, yeah, my first pass would be we need to have a crisis counter-malarkey team on this. So Washington State will launch an electric vehicle rebate program, a EVRBP. This summer in an effort to make poor people get in their damn electric cars and shut up, and you will be paid to do so. What earns you the right to have this either $5,000 or $2,500 off a lease, new or used? Well, you have to be 300% above the poverty line or lower. So an excellent wealth transfer of your tax dollars. Luckily, this is a sales tax. We don't have an income tax, but there's a healthy piece of federal help on this one. But this phony EV rebate program is affecting the market, and this is not the state government you want to do doing that. Back with that and more in a second. AM 770 KTTH.